The deadly blast was the third bombing attack against Kurdish activists and civil society groups since this summer, when explosions at a pro-Kurdish party rally in Diyarbakir killed 4 people. And a twin suicide bombing in a Kurdish town near the Syrian border killed 32 young civic activists in July. Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu says the real victim here is his government. He told the Reuters news agency Wednesday that the latest suicide bombing might be a political ploy to hurt his ruling AK Party ahead of elections.
One of the motivations behind it is to prevent a one-party government success of AK Party. That is one of another motivation behind all these terrorist attacks committed against Turkey, against our democracy.
Many in Turkey, especially in the southeast, are reacting to this theory with skepticism. In Diyarbakir, hundreds of mourners turned out to bury a local politician and an elderly woman activist, both of whom were killed in the attack. The city's mayor, Gültan Kisanak, says at the very least, the government is at fault for failing to protect its own people. And she questions how Turkey's state security apparatus could miss a bombing attack so close to its own power center.
The Prime Minister's office building is there. All of the important institutions are in that very center, and there are intelligence officers who are protecting them. There are cameras everywhere. So for such blasts in such a central area, it is impossible that the state had no knowledge that this was going to happen.
The weekend attack came the same day that the PKK offered a unilateral ceasefire to allow for parliamentary elections scheduled in just more than 2 weeks. But the government has dismissed the offer as a political tactic and doubled down on its air assaults on PKK guerrillas in the mountains and police raids in towns and cities. Fighter jets routinely buzz overhead Diyarbakir on training maneuvers and deadly sorties against Kurdish fighters in the mountains. In the city of Jizra, on the border with Syria, resistance is hardening against the Turkish state. This city was on lockdown for 9 days as police and soldiers battled a youth militia affiliated with the PKK. The police have now withdrawn, and sandbags are piled more than 6 feet high as residents reclaim control of residential streets in the heart of the city. And there are some cruel ironies here. After more than a week living under curfew, 27-year-old Dalmish left Cizre to call for peace at a rally in Ankara. Instead, she narrowly escaped death and was among those who desperately tried to attend to critically wounded people as they waited for ambulances to arrive.
Some people called her mother, brother, family, everybody crying, everybody shook. I am not a doctor, but I must to help some people. I don't know something, but I must.
Turkish military officials say operations are continuing across the country with police officers, soldiers, guerrilla fighters, and civilians killed in the renewed fighting, and opposition party leaders canceled upcoming rallies for security reasons. Last weekend's attack, the deadliest on civilians in the country's modern history, has further divided, not united the country. A Turkish court has imposed a media blackout, preventing critical reporting on the bombing, and riot police have violently dispersed peace demonstrations across the country. It's in this atmosphere that voters will head to the polls in a little more than 2 weeks. Jacob Resnick, FSRN, Cizre, Turkey.